Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Fourth and final hour on this rainy Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's been having a good day. I will just go back to our earlier discussion, and we really haven't had time to really get into some of the craziness that was the fourth quarter of yesterday's wild and wacky finish over at Nissan Stadium. And that's fine. I'm not looking for everybody to agree with me. I just will continue to say I do not understand how everybody is so cool with going for it. By the way, thank you, David Beauclair, for that question. So you like your chances better than if Brett Kern, the best – he didn't say this part about him being the best punter. We've said it on the show. He's the best punter in football. How many times has he pinned opponents deep? So you think that's better than pinning them at the 10? I don't understand the – it's a no-brainer. I mean, that's just basically what Mike Vrabel – he said, I don't need analytics. It's a no-brainer. You go for it at the 49-yard line?
I think I think there's an argument for both. You clearly fall on the Kern side. Let's assume for a moment that Kern will pin them around the 10-yard line. I think we can assume that.
Why would we assume anything differently? He's proven that that's what he does.
So let's take the assessment. They get the ball at the 10. They have no timeouts left, but they have 3 minutes. And in Mike Vrabel's mind,
they don't have 3 minutes. They have 2.5.
No, they have 3 minutes.
No, they have 2.5 minutes. That play was 2:39 left on the clock when they ran that play. So you go in there and you punt. You've got less than 2.5 minutes. You don't have 3 minutes. I'm looking at the play chart. It's 2.5 minutes. It's not three.
All right. 2:39.
2:39 on the 4th-and-1 play, and then you run a play. So instead of running the play, you punt in. You got 2.5 minutes.
Ample time.
And you pin him at the 10. You're telling me that's a better scenario than if you don't get it, he starts at midfield?
I think if it's 1:39, then I think we're talking. This is just me. I'm not saying that there's no argument for you. I just think...
Well, he's not... that. What I'm getting
Phillip
at is...
Philip Rivers.
I agree with you. It could be viewed as 50-50 by most.
I think it's 50-50.
But he did not say it's 50-50 in his mind.
He's got to be decisive.
He said it was emphatically, is a no-brainer. We're going for it. And I'm simply going, it is not a no-brainer. You're going for it.
But
I think he's not even close to a no-brainer.
I think he's trying to show decisiveness. Let's just go through the scenario, though. 10-yard line, 2:39 on the clock. So you have
2.5.
That's plenty of time. They had just gone down the field, right. 75 yards in 4 plays. They found something. I don't know if it was the Titans backing off, playing a little differently, but all of a sudden it looked like the Chargers had momentum. And if you get that half a yard, you can essentially close the game out.
And if you don't, they're at midfield. With 2.5 to go.
But I think the argument is with
and
whether he's at the
20
10,
yards?
Yeah.
25
so,
yards?
But he's at the 10. You're going to play soft. I think he has enough time to advance the ball from the 50 or the 10.
It makes no sense to me how people can say this. I do not understand. By the way, the one thing that we've been praising this entire year, the one thing besides the punter, actually there are two things we have been praising consistently, and it's not even just this year. It's going beyond this year. The punter and the defense.
But
so now all of a sudden
you're
worried about punting and you're worried about can the defense. So now the thing that you've trusted, you think they're going to do it twice?
Did
now
you feel good about the defense, though? After the 4-play 75-yard drive, you felt good about the defense?
They burned them one time. So what?
So I'll make the argument that him going for it on fourth down is like he's probably in the back of his mind thinking, well, even if we don't get this, I trust my defense to hold them. Now, I understand what you're saying, that you pin them in inside the 10, that's obviously a lot better than the 50. I think maybe he looks back at how Frank Reich did it with the Colts against the Titans, that ended up sealing the game. You're trying to put it away at this point. So I don't think it's a no-brainer. I don't like saying it's a no-brainer, but I didn't disagree with the decision.
Well, he didn't say it was a no-brainer. His words made it sound like he was like, I don't need analytics. We're going for it. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't understand that. How could you say pinning your opponent with 2.5 minutes to go and no timeouts, let's say Brett Kern, and oh, by the way, you haven't even factored in, it's still a special teams play, which means something could go wrong.
Right.
It could clip somebody's leg. It could go off a Chargers player, and you could recover it. You're acting like you've got no chance of anything good happening from a play, or you could hit the guy, the returner, and he fumbles it.
But what are the better chances, though? The chances of that are very, very slim, right? The chances of you getting the half a yard are pretty good. I think you should get that 80%, if not 90%, and I would argue that they got it. It was a bad spot. That's
and
a
he
whole
didn't challenge,
other thing.
And that's the whole thing that I right? disagree so, with. So why not challenge?
So that's a whole thing in itself, and he gave his explanation there. I find that fascinating. About the when there's a pile of bodies,
so you have to see the ball. That's pretty much what he said.
He did. I would argue that you can see the ball. Now the question is, do you trust the person sitting up in New York to see what you're seeing, and does your guy? Whoever is because Mike Vrabel, all he can do is look up at the big board in the stadium. And I would argue in the frenzy of the stuff people are yelling at, you can't make your own decision. You have to trust that somebody is in the booth telling you that you trust to challenge or not challenge. And I think just with three timeouts, that's a worthy challenge.
Agreed.
Even if you don't get it. I think there's a good chance that gets overturned.
How could you say you know what they're going to call? Well, we have no clue.
You can't. You can't know.
We've learned this from
all
sports.
Especially with officials this year.
We have no clue what they're coming back
with. Right.
So
you're saying Vrabel's saying you're just not going to get that call?
Yes, that's absolutely incorrect.
That's an assumption that you can't make,
I don't think. We do it every week.
And he's done that a few times.
We all sit here and watch games, and we think we know what they're coming back with, and they don't.
And I agree with him that the spot of the ball and the camber angles, there are some X factors there. But I would argue that you can see Tannehill before he disappears into the pile with the ball with a pretty good reason of where he is, and I could argue he's on the line.
Willie, let
and
me just say
And then he
this.
Gets a push
let
from
me,
Henry.
Let me tell you what I can guarantee you. It's just like what I've thrown out before. You know what I can guarantee you, Chase, is going to happen if you don't play the lottery? Yeah, I guarantee it 100%.
You're not going to win.
You're not going to win. Okay?
Right.
Pretty safe to say? Right, it's an easy thing. You know what I can guarantee is not going to happen if you don't challenge it? Anything's going to get overturned or anything's going to change.
Right.
That's what I can guarantee. If you don't do anything, I can guarantee you it's going to stay the same.
Now, if they had no timeouts left, or I'm sorry, if
one
obviously
time.
They had
let's
that,
say,
if they had one
timeout,
and that's your last timeout,
okay,
then I'd say,
I think it's worthy in that
because
particular
you,
case.
You win
worthy.
The game. If you win the challenge, you essentially
win
the game.
The yes.
game is pretty much over.
Pretty much.
I mean, maybe they get it back with, you know, less than a minute with no timeouts.
But to act like, hey, we already kind of know that there's no way they're going to over. No, you don't. I mean, Mike, coach. I get it. You focus in on your game. The rest of us watch all kinds of games. And every week, college football, NFL, we don't have a clue what they're coming back with. They come back with stuff every single week. If you watch enough games, you shake your head and go, I can't believe that's what they did. We've already talked about it. We lay them out, like these pass interference calls and these other calls where we're like, what? You don't know what they're going to come back with.
And that's,
they could have absolutely. I wouldn't have been surprised at all if they came back and said, after further review, we've spotted it, you know.
Right.
The 40, what do they need to be? The 48, I guess. First down. I wouldn't have been shocked by that.
And as I told everybody earlier, I slowed it down. I clicked it frame by frame. I think you can make a strong argument.
Sure.
That he's across that line. The question is, what does the guy – the unknown is always the human factor of who is sitting in New York and looking at it and saying, yeah, I can't see the ball, but at the last instant that I see the ball, it looks like he's right at the line, if not over it. And then he gets pushed by Derrick Henry a little bit further. They only needed a couple inches to start with. For them to come back and spot the ball as a loss was the wrong spot. So you already know that you got the wrong spot. All you have to argue and see it to overturn it is that he gained something. If he got something, right, he's got the first down. And I think if you look at it, it's very reasonable. So it's worthy of a challenge. Let's hear what Mike Vrabel said when he was asked about that. Because he tried to dance around and he said, okay, I'm going to tell you what I thought.
I'll tell you that if they can't see the football on the spots, they're next to impossible to get. And so the spot challenges that we've seen, the few that have been reversed, just like with Dalvin Cook a few weeks ago, he was kind of in the open field. There was one tackler on him. He reaches the ball, and then his knee goes down. You can clearly see the ball. You can clearly see the knee. When you have 20 people in there on a sneak and you can't see the football, that's when Al tells you, if I can't see the football, I can't overturn whatever they called on the field.
Now, there is merit to that. There is merit to what he's saying. He's right. But let's now fast forward to the Austin Eckler catch where he is ruled in the end zone. You can't see the ball when his rear end touches the ground. The ball is shaded by his body. You can't see the ball.
Right.
But that did not prevent them from overturning the call on the field, which was touchdown. So there are exceptions, right? When I slowed it down, I can see Tannehill where the ball is. He's got a wristband on, or he's got tape on his wrist. He's holding the ball, and he is moving forward, and I think he intersects that line.
Yeah.
Then he gets pushed by Henry where he goes out of sight behind the body of Joey Bosa. We can also bring up, why in the heck isn't there a camera on the other side of every game so that you have a reverse angle? It would seem like the reverse angle could show you something on that. So he is right that most of the time, if you can't see the ball in the big pile, it's very, very hard to get an overturn. I think this one, you could see it, though.
You know what's interesting?
You can see enough.
GPander78 on Twitter pointed out to us about our conversation with Kelly Holcomb on Friday. What did Kelly say? What was he adamant?
That he hates the quarterback sneak.
Said the quarterback sneak is the dumbest play in football.
I think
he was adamant.
Well, because quarterbacks get hurt a lot of times with that.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's why he was saying that.
Yeah, I understand. But he's saying it's the dumbest play in football. He's like, quarterbacks get hurt all the time on quarterback sneaks.
Right. I understand.
And his point was, and you've got a guy like Derrick Henry, then why not just let him pound it?
Well, fourth and one in Atlanta, they tried Derrick Henry, and he got stuffed.
I just think my whole thing.
I've seen quarterback sneaks work a lot.
They do.
I mean, it's dangerous, yes. But when you're that short, like John Madden used to say this, 1 foot equals quarterback sneak. Like Tom Brady has got famous numbers on the quarterback sneak, right? It's not like that play never works.
I just, my whole thing is of saying, well, Al's going to tell you not to do that. I hate that mentality. At this point, and I've said it over and over again today, you've already gambled. You've already rolled the dice and going for it on fourth down. Why not roll the dice again and give up a timeout to try and win a challenge to get the spot?
I gotta be honest, because I
hate the mentality of, well, you know what, they're not calling that, or it usually doesn't work. Okay, so you're just not going to try at all?
I think right now, this point, I'd rather talk about things that people, I mean, I don't even know who would say, other than him, who would say that's a terrible idea to challenge that. Like, I just think
it makes no
sense. We're all on the same page, and we're just talking about something. We're all nodding our heads going, well, of course you challenge on that play. You have three timeouts.
Right.
Other than Mike Vrabel, who was out there going, now that would be dumb. That would be dumb to challenge that spot.
Right.
Who's saying that? I haven't even seen that anywhere. So to me, it's like, well, let's just move on and talk about something that maybe everybody doesn't agree with.
If it were a 10-yard penalty and you move the ball to the 40, if you don't get it, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But your price to pay for challenging is one of your three remaining timeouts. I think that's a price worthy of a gamble.
Yep. We'll come back. Some of you want to weigh in as well, so we'll get some phone calls, continue discussing this. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, don't forget, Smashville Live returns Wednesday. This week it'll be at Drake's in Cool Springs, located at 553 Cool Springs Boulevard, 7 until 8 o'clock. Fans can register to win two tickets to an upcoming Predators home game. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine.
You know who's hosting Smashville Live this week?
Well, I do not. It's not on the copy.
I know.
I don't know.
It's yours truly.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's Gilsey.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Even another reason. Get out there. Drake's in Cool Springs. Cool place. Chase and Skillsy. Keith, what's up?
Hi, guys. I've been a Mike Vrabel supporter. But, you know, this year I thought his non-challenges cost us the Colts game. First, for the pass interference, which I know there's an argument about that. But then the spot that Brissett, whenever he scrambled for the first down. And then yesterday, I mean, he didn't challenge the guy whenever he caught it on the sidelines. It was out of bounds. And then why in the world with 2 minutes and 35 seconds to go would you not spend your challenge to challenge that? That's the stupidest thing I ever seen. I'm ready to get rid of him. I'll hang up and listen.
Wow, Keith, that changed in a hurry. You went from supporting him to now you're ready to get rid of him. Okay.
Well, let's say this, too.
I don't know if he I'm ready been to do
hit.
That.
But. He has been hit with some very difficult decisions. He was hit with some tough ones there. Those are not easy, any of them. And I appreciated the heck out of his willingness to discuss them today. It's easier to do it after you yeah. won, right? I mean, they pulled it out of the fire. This would be the whole show if they had given up the go-ahead touchdown. He also had a very interesting decision once the ball was placed on the 1 yard line after Eckler. It sounded to me like he really strongly considered letting them score on the first down and goal from the half yard line because he took the timeout. And that surprised, that really startled Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts, right? They were confused because Gene Serratore said there's going to be a 10 second runoff here and then a started clock. Like he's anticipating Serratore. Who I thought was fantastic in the chaos of talking with reason,
I liked him, by
spelling
the way.
It out, making us all at home understand what was going on. So I'm thinking, okay, you place the ball at the one. There's 27 seconds. They can't run the ball. They haven't run the ball the whole game. They have no timeouts, and the clock is going to start as soon as the whistle goes. I'm thinking, hey, I got a shot maybe for a goal line stand here, maybe. And so letting them score. Or even if you don't let them score, right? Taking the timeout allows them to calm down, punch it in, maybe. And you have two timeouts. You have 30-something seconds. And you have to have a touchdown, right? Because they missed the extra point. You'd be down by four instead of three.
Was this first and goal? So this is when they get first and goal at the one?
After the Eckler play that he almost scores on the pass. It's first and goal at the one. The Titans took the timeout. And Dan Fouts goes, they don't have any timeouts. Right. And then Ian Eagle says, wait a minute. It's Tennessee that took the timeout. Yeah. And Fouts was like, oh.
Yeah. Right.
He was really surprised.
Right, right.
Which I can see. But Teron made a good point earlier when we were talking about it. He said, it does give you a chance to sort of stop the momentum as a defense. It allows you to calm down and then dig in there. And then, of course, they get the false start. And then immediately go back to the one. Then there is the because they had the pass interference on Malcolm Butler, which I thought was a good call. But I mean, you talk about the chaos within the game. That's hard for any coach to process all of that, though. My thinking was maybe just put them in a scramble, force them to have to throw it because they haven't run the ball worth a lick the whole right. game, and they can't stop the clock.
The thing that I liked that we heard some today, and I kind of want to hear more of is. You know, I feel like sometimes when Mike Vrabel is asked about his decisions and the process, he gets frustrated and he that's when he gets a little combative and doesn't want to answer those questions. I thought today he did a much better job of that, and I understand it's after a win, but that's what we're looking for. Like, listen, you don't have to lay out every play and let us completely in your head, but just explain it. And then it goes away. And then you don't have to answer these questions every week. But when you make some questionable calls and decisions, the media is going to ask about it. And I think that that's what Mike Vrabel needs to just do a little bit better job of in answering those questions and just understand that's a part of the gig.
Albeit in a win. What if it wasn't in a win?
Oh, well, it would be worse.
Okay, that's my point. Does it make it any better or any worse? Does it change it?
No.
I mean, we're still talking about the same stuff. So don't you think the people, there are some people that are like, oh, it's okay because it all worked out? What if it didn't?
No, and I'm not saying it's all okay.
You know what I mean?
No,
I mean, there
I
are
agree.
People. There are people sure. like that, though. That's what I'm getting at. So if it comes at a loss,
right,
and then it ends up biting them in the, you know what, then all of a sudden it's outrage?
But, you know, this is what, quite honestly, we all love about sports and football is the toughness of these decisions. Mm-hmm. I think as long as he respects that, and we as the media respect that that's a really difficult spot to be put in on the spot. And it's easy for us on Monday or Sunday night to say, well, I would have done this. I mean, why would you do that? I would have done this. It's easy for us to do that, right? It's hard when you're under the gun there. But I do think, looking through week by week, what are the tendencies that a guy does? He's a young coach. This is only his second year as a head coach. What does he learn from the experience week to week? These are all things that I think are fair to assess. And I give his team a ton of credit for finding a way to stop him from the one twice. That was fantastic. Great play.
Well, something that I try to do, and I think we've tried to do as a show, I don't want to speak for you guys, but I feel pretty confident. We've been doing this for a long time and been around each other for many, many years. I think we try not to be phony about it, because there's plenty of people that are phony about it once you see that you didn't get the fourth down,
right,
or you didn't get this,
right,
or you didn't get that. We try to always say, this is how I felt going into the play. Not afterwards.
Right, your first guess.
Not
first
the next
guess
day,
and not a second guess.
And I'm telling you, when he's going for it, I am going, no.
Right.
What are you doing?
And I'm agreeing
this
with it.
This is not after they missed it. It's not
sure.
my opinion afterwards. I'm saying, see, they missed it. No. If they would have got it, I get it. I still would have said, I would have come on here and said, I'm letting the best punter in the league with 2.5 minutes to go and the team that's receiving the ball – with no timeouts, I'm going to let the best punter in the league try to pin them inside the 10. That's me, and make them drive the length of the field or whatever that magic yard stripe is for them to get a long field goal. And I don't even know what that number is for their kicker.
Right.
Okay. What do you have to get? What do they have to get to? The 35, I guess?
Probably. I don't
and
know.
And he had hit a 50-yarder.
Yeah.
Yep.
To the same side
so
of the field.
Maybe 35. So that's still a long way. That's me. And that's just me trying to say that was my initial reaction, and I think that's what we've tried to do on this show, to just tell the way we felt watching it play out. And if we're wrong, we're wrong. I mean, I've said it many times. Like I wouldn't have done that. And it all worked out. I wouldn't have done it that way, because at the time I was saying, no, don't do it. So, for the people that want to react to what you're saying, Willie, about, you know, once it's all said and done or afterwards or the next day – yeah, I mean, I don't think that's fair, because that's easy, man. That's
right.
A seat anybody can sit in. Anybody. How hard is it to sit in that seat? Let's see. Let's let
it's
everything
like,
play out.
It's like filling out
make
your bracket
our,
after
and then
the
make
fact.
Our, right, and then let's make our observations. Well, duh. How
yeah.
hard is that? Dr. Detroit, Dee, what's up?
Hi, guys. How are you? Well, you know, I hope since the beginning of the season that off season they're going to change this rule, because of so many horrible mistakes and missed calls. And you know, I've called in since Calvin Johnson days for the Lions. But let me tell you what, Titans fans, that was a hell of a football game yesterday. For them to fight like they did, you will take that win to the bank anytime. That was an outstanding performance. Might have been a little ugly. Calls might not have went your way, but that was an outstanding victory, and a chalk one up for the Titans. But what I'm getting at, guys, once again, if your running back, fullback, whatever, can only have to break the pylon or the white line, it's a touchdown. That's carrying the football in the end zone. Why it makes it so hard and difficult for the receiver to have the hardest job of a football team to get a score on having complete control? Now, I thought a ground can't cause a fumble. So, therefore, to me, my logic is going to the wide receiver, if you come down with it, and the ground makes you bobble it, but you still got control on your stomach It might be rotating from arm to arm, elbow to elbow, whatever. But if you don't lose that football, it should be a touchdown. Thank you, and I'll listen to y'all's reply on that.
All right, Dee Dee. Thank you.
Lions fans had some issues with the officials the last couple of
weeks. Well, that's what I'm getting. Yeah, I mean, we certainly talked about it after that Packers game, that's for sure. And I know that that's what we're getting at. I mean, if you watch enough of these games, if you watch enough of games, NFL, college, what, Saturday, Sunday, both, there have been a lot of head-scratching calls this year that makes you wonder what in the world are they looking at. So that's why we've kind of been throwing this out of. I don't know how anybody could think, well, we know what they're going to do. Do we?
No, you don't.
No clue what these officials are going to do at either level. At least that's my opinion. I've watched enough games this year to go, I have no idea what they come back with. Because there's been times I've been sitting there adamantly thinking, this is going a certain way, and it absolutely does not go that way. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand that. So that's all we're pointing out is I don't know how anybody could think that they know what's in the head of these officials and what they're really going to call. Or the people in New York, because we've seen enough already in the young season. We're not even at the halfway point, and I guess we're getting to it, right, that it's not that way at all. I want to talk to all the men out there. You've been hearing me for years talk about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And they know a lot of you men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician over there, is front and center on that quest to helping you out, especially as we all get older. And his wife, Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you men out there the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And they've already started doing that with a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and the surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone. Make that appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
I think that Ryan, you know, took advantage of the opportunity. He was excited to be able to lead an offensive football team and a football team yesterday. Again, you looked at the timing of Corey's touchdown. It was decisive. It was in a tight window, and there was a lot of those, John. Really cool to see Tajay. You know, that's when you run a guy along the back line, you know, he's not the primary read. That you're going to get to that guy. You know, for whatever reason, they dropped 9 guys out of there. Ryan stayed in the pocket and then was able to see Tajay and throw it over, you know, a couple set of hands. So that was happy for Tajay.
Ryan Tannehill, 23 of 29, 312 yards, 2 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns and a pick, sacked twice. Quarterback rating of 120. I was looking at Pro Football Focus, their top 5 offensive player grades for the Titans that took at least, were involved in at least 20 snaps.
All right. Top 5, well, Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to say he's on there.
Third.
Okay.
Graded out at 79.5.
Is there a grade high enough for Aaron Rodgers yesterday?
Well, he did pretty well. Threw for 429, 5 touchdowns, and ran one in, which is why he got the game ball. Yeah.
Brissett has to be pretty high. He had a big game.
I thought these were just for Titans.
This is Titans.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you were talking about quarterbacks who had
Titans, top 5, offensive grades, Pro Football Focus that were part of at least 20 snaps. Ryan Tannehill was third. Who else?
Corey Davis.
Corey Davis was fourth.
Really? Interesting.
Yep. Taylor Lewan.
Taylor Lewan graded out the best. At 86.8.
Do you notice that they moved Bosa to the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was not having a whole lot of success with Taylor Lewan. So give him his props on that.
Jonnu Smith, second.
Okay. So, Lewan, Smith, Tannehill, Corey Davis.
Mm-hmm.
AJ?
Nope.
DH22?
I'll never get it.
I'll never get it.
Jamil Douglas.
Really?
Jamil Douglas, good for him.
Really?
How about that?
He hung in
right,
there.
I was not going to get that.
All right, let's get to Tannehill. Didn't you think, because the numbers speak for themselves. Right?
I've been ready to talk about this all day.
I thought Mike Vrabel was in an interesting spot in that press conference because there were a lot of loaded questions
sure.
to try to say, this is what Tannehill did. This is obviously what Mariota was not doing. He did everything he could to be very respectful and not make it a comparison, right, of, well, Marcus wasn't doing this. Tannehill did do this. So I thought he handled that very well. And he even said, look, I don't want to go back. I want to look ahead. It's about making the most of your opportunity. But you could hear some specifics there of what he liked, what he saw with Tannehill, which clearly was a little bit of a shot in the arm and different than what they've been experiencing offensively. I think this is the really key question. Maybe the biggest key question of the season. Surely these are all humans, right? Tannehill, his track record is such that he's a flawed quarterback. He's not a Hall of Famer. But you hope he's the right fit for his strengths with the strengths of the offense. It looked great yesterday. Can they do that? Can they build on that and have that be more of the norm? How he matches chemistry-wise with the receivers. You know, they distributed the ball the way we all hoped that they would do it. They got Brown involved.
Well, you saw some chemistry yesterday.
Oh, yeah. They got Corey Davis in there.
Jonathan Smith was a prime example.
The tight ends got involved, right? The touches. And they still got the ball to Derrick Henry a bunch, right? Yeah. They were picking up third downs, all of that stuff. And I've said it before. There are some quarterbacks that in a new situation, it just fits better. And that's what you have to hope for here. Don't know if it's going to, because there's going to be tape now. There's going to be, let's see what they did with Tannehill. Now they're going to have the next wrinkle, right, with how they go about it. But it sure did look good. It was exactly what you would hope for when you make a switch, that you get a little shot in the arm.
I stand by that. I think he goes through his progression a lot better than Marcus Mariota does. It was quicker. The offensive line gave him time, but he also didn't need to take all of that time. He knew he had a plan going in, and that was something that we've been talking about of just have a plan.
Did they really give him any more time than in the past? Or maybe he was doing a better job of
I think
getting rid of the ball.
No, I think you're right.
Isn't that what we've been talking about?
Yeah.
Remember when I've been very quick, Chase, to say, you can keep pounding on the offensive line all you want, and I get it. They haven't been very good, but a lot of this is in the quarterback's lap.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, magically, poof, everything just got better. We just talked about how Taylor Lewan grades out the best, Jamil mm-hmm. Douglas, and it has nothing to do with maybe the decision maker, the guy who's under center, and it looks different.
I think it has a lot to do with that, and that's what I'm getting at. But because he had a plan, and I think there were times when Marcus Mariota just didn't have a plan. I think there was a lot of stuff going on in that head of his. And with Ryan Tannehill, it was more of a rejuvenation of now, okay, I'm getting another shot. This is why I came here, because I wanted to go to a team that I knew I was probably going to be a backup, but I could have a chance. And he made the most of the chance. And look, he got sacked twice, which was fantastic. That has to make the offensive line feel better. But a lot of it is on the decisions that Ryan Tannehill was making. The interception, hand got hit. You can't
do anything about
it. But he
that.
Held it. He held it a little bit. Now, but this is what's interesting. Like, when he holds it, he's shuffling a little bit.
Is that the one, though, where Jonnu Smith was the blocker? He was back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
And Jonnu Smith got beat. He got beat bad. It was Bosa, right? Or was it the other guy? Owosu?
I think it was him. Yeah.
Heck of a rush.
Yeah.
He's coming at him. But I did think he waited. But I don't mind that if you're got your eyes up and you're still in a throwing position, and that was worst case scenario, right? It popped up in the air, and as soon as it did, you're like, oh boy,
right?
But I've noticed when Mariota, not again to make the comparison, right? But Mariota, we've talked about a lot, when he decides the initial's not there, it's head down, ball down, starting to look down towards little crevices in the pocket. Let me see if I can sneak out, and plays dead. So over time, I do think Tannehill has a little better match with this offensive line to shuffle within the pocket more. He throws on the run better than Mariota, I think.
I don't think there's any doubt. Watching yesterday?
Right.
C- couple of those throws.
But his flaws will come out as well.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, there's going to be. There's a reason why he was available. All of that stuff. You just hope that it's more like a Jim Plunkett, where a guy gets a little new life and the best of his traits come out because he's a better fit with this personnel than it was in Miami.
I think
that's what you're trying to catch, is a little lightning in the bottle here.
And I think you saw good Arthur Smith, too. Not that, you know, I know that Teron was complimentary, that he's called some good games. I just think this is a better marriage. I think that there's a better matchup between how Tannehill does things and how Arthur Smith is trying to do things. Now, you know, maybe Marcus Mariota, if down the line he gets another chance for whatever reason, maybe this is all going to help him change. But in year five, I'm not really trying to do that. I was very, very impressed with the way the offense ran yesterday. I want to see it again. That's what I keep saying. Do it again. But I really liked what I saw.
Isn't it amazing when you get good quarterback play, how smarter everybody looks, how much better everybody looks?
Sure.
You think that's a coincidence?
No.
Think not.
Well, also, finishing the drives with touchdowns and not field goals, right? That you've got three home games that you've played
now. I mean,
that
pass to Davis was fantastic.
Yes.
Just threading the needle right in there. I mean, that was fantastic. They're just things, and I hate to say it. I've been saying these things for a good while, and everybody wants to keep blame everybody else. Sometimes it's tough because everybody likes him, but you have to blame. Quarterback has to take the blame too, and you just saw a prime example of what it can look like and how different everything looks like. But now the challenge is, because this league is so good, and everybody, now that, as you brought up, Willie, there's tape on him in this system with the Titans as the starter, full game, and now everybody's going to adjust, right? Now everybody's going to pick up things. They're going to pick up tendencies. And so then how can he keep staying out in front of everybody? It's not going to be 312 every game. It's not going to be 23 of 29 for 300 right. every game. But can he adjust to what they're going to adjust to him, and they keep this thing going in a positive direction? That's the challenges the Titans have moving forward. We'll come back, and our challenge is to wrap up. Easiest ticket giveaway ever. Nashville SC, First Tennessee Park, first round USL playoffs this Saturday. Tickets are now available at NashvilleSC.com, but tickets are available to you right now. Caller number 5-5-1-2-3-4-5-7-3-7-1-0-2-5-6-1-5.
This album
seven,
is called 10.
3-7-1-0-2-5. But I didn't want to do that to the guys, you know?
Thank you, Darren.
Because, Matt, you know, they would have been like, really, 10?
Remember a certain personality on air who will remain nameless used to say, he would say, caller number, he'd just pick a random, but it'd be like 75. You'd hear all this throwing stuff, banging in the back, yelling, how could you do that? Caller number 73, since it was 1973 when such and such.
No regard for what they had to do behind the glass. No regard.
Had to take 73 phone calls back then. I used to tell people, I would like wink at them and say, okay, you don't really have to.
Yeah, just say your caller 49, your caller 63, your caller 68. 737-1025. Your next chance to win is with Jared and the GM later today as the phone lines light up. So now it's going to be the Bucks. I think what's
great
interesting
opportunity to put two together
is something we talked about all week last week is what would we be talking about today, right? What would it look like? What would it?
The headline, as you
how
like
would
to say.
Yeah, how would it feel? And it feels pretty good. It was wild and crazy. At times, I'm sure if people were drinking during the game, they probably were pouring a little bit heavier toward the end of the game. But so now it's like, okay, the thing is, we've seen this before in sports. You know, it's especially in the NFL this year, right? Yeah, Kyle Allen won a game for Carolina. Like what? Like he's going to keep winning them? Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater wins a game without Drew Brees. Okay, great. Can he keep winning them? Answer, yes. They're both undefeated. They're both undefeated as starters. So, can he keep it going? Yeah, he can. We've seen it happen in this market. yeah, Kerry Collins, but can he keep it going? yeah.
They started the year, what,
10-0. Finished 13-3.
And lost
every year. This happens around the league. This league is so full of surprises.
Yep.
It's really something. Carolina with the guy that's been starting for them?
Kyle Allen, the guy you just brought up.
Are you listening to the show today? I mean, are your headphones working?
I know. Apparently not.
You know what would be a good idea right now, Max? We should give away Nashville SC tickets.
Oh, let's do that. Do we have tickets to give away for that
Let's
game?
Let's do that.
You know what we could do? We could just name
a
number.
You're gone for a week.
Name a number of a caller.
Are you still on LA time?
Just a crazy high number.
What happened
Wouldn't that
in
be
Vegas?
Silly?
Willie's like, I thought Teron was coming in today. Where's Teron Davenport? Well, he did an hour and a half with
us. Is your brain still in Vegas? I mean, I understand. That's a thing. But
well.
Come on, Willie.
Maybe so. Sorry.
What's your next example? Teddy Bridgewater?
He's been good.
You know what? He's undefeated.
Who's he playing for us?
The Jets.
Louisville.
Louisville. By the way, that was a crazy game, huh? Was it the Virginia Tech game? What, six overtimes?
Well, I thought you were talking about Louisville Clemson with the fight.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of craziness
and the player
in
who
that.
Got sent home on the equipment truck.
Yeah. There was a lot of craziness in that, but what was it, the Virginia Tech game?
North Carolina, Virginia Tech,
yeah,
I think.
Six, seven overtimes?
Six.
Yeah.
Mm. And that was with the new rule, right? The first time that they've had. Isn't there like a new rule that you have to do 2-point conversions?
It just becomes a 2-point shootout.
Yeah.
Which I feel like, I mean, there are fewer plays, but the game is likely to continue longer.
Right. I didn't really understand that. And then you have Wisconsin going down.
Jeez. How in the world do you lose to Illinois? After you start, everybody's talking about you now.
They score more points.
Finally praising you. Everybody's giving you all the credit you've been seeking. And then you lose.
That was a shocker.
You lose.
They dropped to 13th in the AP poll.
Oof.
Oof. But think about Missouri, too. What are they thinking in Columbia today? Like, they were on the verge. You know, thinking coming into Nashville, we'll get the win. We're ranked. We'll be 3-0 in the league. We'll be atop of the standings in the East. Woo. And they got ambushed.
So it makes it fun.
That was one of the more stunning games that I've seen in a long time. That was a great sign for Vanderbilt if they can build on it. But they held a team that had scored 30 or more points 11 straight weeks. They were averaging 39 points a game against a defense that has not stopped anybody. And Vanderbilt held them to 14. Figure that out.
I guarantee you. I can feel it the way they played on Saturday. There's no way Vandy loses this week. No chance.
You're right.
I'm just telling you. I can feel it.
How about that guy starting for Carolina? Is he any good? The Panthers? Can you believe that guy?
Undrafted guy.
Kyle Allen.
Who's even heard of that guy? That'll do it.
Not Willie.
You have a great rest of your rainy day. We'll be back at
Finish
it tomorrow
your
morning.
Beer.
We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. See you then. But you can't stay here. Monday show. We'll do that next.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.